So you challenge Charlotte to a match?
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for Tacomania!
It's Rusev Day!
Love black eyes.
Where are you, Dango?
All before you were wearing a training bra.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome for another exciting episode of Tacomania. I'm your host, Desmino, here with J-Bomb. Say hello, J-Bomb.
Hey, what's up, man? Dude, you have so much enthusiasm every time we start an episode.
Because I'm excited. I'm excited to start an episode. I'm excited to get into the nitty-gritty of wrestling. And I'm excited to be here with you, my buddy.
Dude, it's late.
It is late. We're doing a late recording tonight, guys.
Very late.
I saved all my enthusiasm for that opening. You're going to see me slowly fall asleep as the recording goes on.
Drink, bitch.
Have a beer, man.
I am actually having a beer, yeah.
So SmackDown just ended. Literally just ended. And this
it
is
literally did, yeah.
This is the schedule that we always kind of wanted to do, and I guess we're finally doing it now. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah, we're old. It seems to be the reality of it. So it's not the perfect world. We were like, oh, should we record Raw after Raw and SmackDown after SmackDown, combine the two? But no, we wanted to be a natural flow. Makes sense. Plus, we're also busy this week, so we're trying to nail up the show a bit early this week.
Yep.
Tomorrow, we are headed downtown Montreal, Piranha Bar, St. Catherine Street. Ken Shamrock will be there live, folks, in Montreal. Check it out. We'll be meeting him and hanging out and having some good times, having some brewskis, and we'll take some pictures and we'll share it with you guys.
He's our new best friend, basically.
Jay keeps asking him to be his best friend, and he keeps not returning his phone calls. So,
dude, we're best friends.
We are, I guess. Are. You are. For those of you who've been living under a rock or haven't heard our podcast, we had an awesome interview last week. Ken Shamrock, he was on Tacomania. He was actually our first guest on Tacomania.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Oh, not first guest, but first interview. I guess we called J-Ro a guest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, come on, that guy is a legend.
Who, J-Ro or?
J-Ro.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was very cool to have Ken on the show after, I guess it went well. The promoters from his live tour got in contact with us after the show as well. They're going to be hooking us up with some stuff. So we're going to be meeting Ken tomorrow night, so that's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the interview was a thing on its own, but to be able to meet him intimately tomorrow.
Intimately.
No jokes. But yeah, it's going to be cool. I've been following what he's been doing. He's been going across Canada for his tour, meeting fans, doing press, doing radio, doing TV, just basically telling stories. I'm sure he's talking about the same things over and over, but that's the thing, you know. He's answering those questions. And he seems very humble in his interview.
Yep.
He's very happy, and you know, he wants to give back to the fans now, so that's really cool. If you guys have any suggestions for... I guess at this point we will have already sat down with him, so it doesn't matter.
No, let's release this. We're going to be releasing this Wednesday morning. Screw it. So if you listen to this during the day and you do want us to ask Ken something tonight, just post it on our Twitter. Maybe we'll do some periscoping from there. We'll see what the vibe is like.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been to the Piranha Bar, but when we were a bit younger, we used to go there a lot of time, and it's pretty cool, so if you're in the area, check it out. If not, just follow him. Also, the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. It's a really cool podcast, and he talks about all kinds of things, and he'll let you know where he's going, so check it out. If you were a fan of Ken Shamrock, which I was, so this interview is extra special for me. You know, I know I was nervous when it first started, but as things went along, the guy's a really cool guy, made me feel really comfortable, and it was awesome and an honor to be able to talk to the guy.
Fucking right, buddy. Okay, we got to get into Raw. We got to get the ball rolling on this one. So, what's your takeaways, man? How'd you enjoy it?
Raw, SmackDown, they were okay shows. Not too much happened in hindsight. They've had a lot of time now to build up to Money in the Bank. And I guess that's kind of it. They have a lot of time, so sometimes not much is happening, or they're just waiting for the pay-per-view build-up. But Again, we got Roman Reigns back on Raw this week, putting a tag team match with Rollins, with Elias and Jinder. And I was a bit disappointed because I like Rollins to be a standalone kind of segment. I like him to go out there, have his open challenge, have a one-on-one match. I felt like he was kind of thrown into it to kind of, oh, it's Roman Reigns, he's back. People are going to boo him. But if we stick him with Seth Rollins, who
they
knows?
Cheered him, you know, this week.
Yeah, they did. They did cheer him. So
they mission accomplished for them, I guess.
Well, what town were they in? I don't even remember.
Corpus. Oh, SmackDown was Corpus Christi. So.
It's usually the same city back to back.
Is it? Yeah. Or close.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't quote us on this one.
Well, Montreal was back to back, so I guess I'm going off the same.
Montreal is special.
Like, after pay per views, they usually do back to back. Yeah, it was. But yeah, so yeah, they're cheering Roman this week. We'll see where this goes to. But I, you know what? I have to admire the intensity in this build up between the two of them, Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal, because they're being aggressive and it's not part of a title picture, I guess.
Yeah.
That's fresh.
That's nice. So. That's refreshing.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad.
It's crazy that Brock Lesnar's not going to be on Money in the Bank. Like, it's crazy.
I know. And I just read, too, that the rumor is... I was super excited because for SummerSlam, people were saying that Seth Rollins was heavily rumored to be his opponent.
Yeah.
But now I'm reading this evening that there's quite a large chance that it's going to be Roman Reigns again.
Oh, my God. You know what? I hope it is. I hope it is because the internet goes crazy. Everybody flips out. And... it's like, remember when we talked about Lana debuting and we said that it's probably going to be a train wreck, but we're really excited to see it. That's how I feel like every Roman Reigns main event is. So I'm cool.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, but I guess he'll finally get that win as soon as he beats Punk's record. But talking about Lana too, I'm going to jump over to SmackDown for a moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what we do late at night. We're in the late night show. We jump all over the place.
We break all the rules.
But Lana, match tonight on SmackDown,
yep.
Aiden English
mm-hmm.
versus the Usos. I guess I'm going to call Naomi an Uso. She is. But my question to you is, isn't it a bit odd that Rusev hasn't really been involved in their... it's going to be like Aiden and Lana and not Aiden, Lana, and Rusev. Now, I understand you're keeping Rusev in the Money in the Bank participant storyline. But why can't you have him in two storylines? Why can't he still be out there with Lana?
I guess it's too hard for creative to keep up with. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
They don't want him there too much, maybe, in people's faces to think that they're like Rusev. I don't know.
I think it's honestly... I don't know. Maybe they'd rather... I don't know. Are they trying to get rid of Rusev Day chance? Is that
maybe
part of it?
Well, they just released the Happy Lana Day shirt today now in WWE Shop. So now she has her own.
Maybe they're trying to get that over.
Happy Rusev Day.
But I don't see how the three of them could come out... I don't see how it was. I think you mentioned it last podcast. Why wasn't it like a six person tag?
Well, it goes back to what I was saying. They're trying to keep all the participants working in a story angle with each other that are in the Money in the Bank. Exactly what happened tonight. Samoa Joe.
It's boring, though.
Rusev. I know. But I mean, my kind of point more or less would be that they could just have him in both segments. They don't like. You know, but that's kind of what our tripe was. We're talking about how, like, Stone Cold used to be in multiple segments back in the day. And The Rock would. It's like, why not? Like, why can't you have him there? It makes no sense. Unless they're going for, like, Lana spends too much time with Aiden and then Rusev gets jealous or something.
Maybe. That's the only thing I was thinking that, too. On Raw, they did it with Ronda, though. Ronda was in, she was, like, on the microphone. She came down. She helped Natty. And then she was backstage in another segment. I didn't catch the last, like, 15, 20 minutes of Raw, so I don't know if she showed up three times, but there was two segments with Ronda, and that was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, Ronda's a special, I guess, case. You know, they're showboating, they're showcasing her. I thought it was interesting this week. They had her come down and do commentary, so I was like, oh, wow, let's see how this goes. And she kept it pretty basic, but she did a decent job.
So basic.
Yeah, but that was it. She's playing it a little bit safe. She had a few witty... I guess, sayings or, you know, things that she would say. But for the most part, you know, I'd rather listen to her than I listen to Carmella, at least.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Listen to her podcast and her interview with Ken Shamrock, and he'll tell you exactly what a lot of people are feeling with the whole Ronda Rousey thing.
Yeah. Plug-in. I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that because I was watching this week on SmackDown, Asuka taking on both Sonya Deville and... Mandy Rose.
That was good.
And I'm looking at Sonya Deville, and she's supposed to be this tough, like, you know, fighter. And I don't make that. She's missing that. She's also missing the aggressiveness. I don't take her serious.
She doesn't have much charisma.
Is that it? Is it the missing charisma, perhaps?
I don't know. She just isn't like
buying. She's not very good in the mic. It sounds very fake, but she's also pretty early, you know, like in her career. So I'm like giving her time to build up, but
Mandy's way better than her, and she's just as early.
Mandy's better than the mic. Yeah, Mandy's getting better as well.
I love how it pains you to say it.
She's getting better. I'm not saying she's good yet. I'm not a huge Mandy fan. Her music's good. I like it.
Her porno entry is good. Yo, Lana's music. I hated that. I think last year we voted.
That was J-Bomb's tweet, by the way, saying that he loved it. I don't love it.
Dude, it works so well right now. And I hated that theme last year. I think it was on our year end. I think I chose it as the worst theme of the year.
And she really had it now for that long?
Oh, yeah. And like it hits and I'm like, yes. And there's somebody else's who sounds very similar to it.
Her first entrance was the best when she came out and she was all awkward and didn't know how to dance to it. It's classic.
Yo, she's killing it, man. She's killing it.
I will say that I was watching it with my girlfriend tonight and I was saying, man, she's actually starting to improve her wrestling skills. She did a few like really like sloppy like what was it, elbow drops on Naomi. It looked like she's gonna land on her head, like sit on her head. But outside of that, she's looking a lot better. She's got good psychology in the ring, so you know what? I'm actually really excited to see how she fares in a ladder match. I want to see what she does. If she gets hit, I hope she takes a big bump. I would love to see that. That would really help
something
her
earn off her stripes, of a ladder or something.
That'd be yeah, dope. It would really help her earn her stripes. I think if she did something like that,
you got to think she's going to go through a table at some point,
or she's going to win it. She's going to be that sneaky person. How else would she win? You know, it kind of makes you be like, really, and then like. Well, the only conceivable way she's going to be a champion or win the title right now is if she wins that briefcase.
I know, but I just can't see it being Mella and then her. I just can't see two like that in a row.
Yeah, it would be a very similar kind of like run and cash in probably, man. I got to say, though, Carmella, I know she's capable of so much more, but she's such a terrible champion. I just find that she's coming out doing the same promos all the time, copy-paste.
Terrible, though?
Worse than Natty? Bad. Yeah, I would say so. And I'm not sitting here ripping Carmella because I think she has a lot of potential to be a really good heel.
Yeah.
But I think she goes out there and she's like, you know, give me the respect I deserve. Oh, I'm exposing Asuka for who she is because she lost. She's not the same. Like, it's so copy-paste. I've heard it all before. Like, set yourself apart. You know, when you want to go down to history, you want to be known as one of the best women champions of all time. Her, she's going down as, like, working hard, I for sure. But she's following this recipe that just like copy paste for me, and it's just everything I know
fucking road
out of her
dog.
Mouth. Everything that comes out of her mouth, though, I just kind of know what she's gonna say. I know where it's leading to. I knew Asuka was gonna come out. She's sitting on commentary, playing this typical heel, saying "Mella is money, Mella is money." I beat Asuka. It's simple math. Blah blah blah. Same thing over, and it's just like, oh, come on, girl, do something different.
Yeah,
I'm really hard on talent. I know, but I expect a lot. But I don't know, like. You want to stand out. You want to be unique. And to me, it's just copy-paste. Same thing with Big Cass. He's doing the same thing coming out. Oh, this sad sob story, this little puny guy, and he came back, and I'm tired of this story. And like, come on, man. Who can hate Daniel Bryan? I don't believe it. Come on.
A lot of people aren't liking the Cass Daniel Bryan thing. I don't hate it. I just
don't want to drag on two pay-per-views. It's tentatively going to Extreme Rules. I don't want to see that much Big Cass. I was actually happy when he was injured because it took him off my television screen.
Yeah, well, where's Daniel this week? No Daniel, eh?
No Daniel Bryan this week. AJ Styles was behind the curtain. He did a recorded or probably pre-recorded segment.
That was brutal
not
to watch.
Not having the champion coming down to the ring or wrestling during a two-hour show.
Where's Jeff Hardy?
Man, where's Jeff Hardy? Probably did a dark match. I mean, like, come on.
We saw the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, we saw the Bludgeon Brothers, yeah, finally. And then it's funny because they did this whole big thing on WWE.com or they released this video package of Luke Harper and the career and how he got to where he was.
Yeah, watch
it. And they were talking about it this week and then he gets beaten this week. It was like typical WWE to slap the person in the face if they're in their hometown or they're highlighting them. It's just, I'm ranting. My gears have been grinded.
So, didn't enjoy the WWE product too much this week, I would take it.
I mean, it wasn't great. I guess a lot of things that you can kind of pick apart, but I guess I should learn to not pick apart so much. But, you know, I mean, even with this Bailey-Sasha thing, right? It's okay. Let's go back to the beginning of all of this. So we have Curt Hawkins coming out for his 200th loss. He's having a celebration for everybody if he picks up the win. And it's going to be tacos for everybody. Now, for some reason, that table is going to fill everybody in the audience. That really amazes me. However, I love tacos. So I was super excited. Everybody loves tacos. They were really
generally disappointed. You weren't going to get a taco at home, bud.
I know. I'm actually having tacos this weekend. And it may have been inspired from this. Damn. So. But yeah, he doesn't get his win. He loses yet again from disqualification. Corbin comes out and then immediately goes backstage and declares, "Hey, I'm the constable now. Stephanie McMahon made it for me. Here, Kurt, read this letter. You know, don't fact check it. Don't go talk to Stephanie and just believe it for what it is." It's kind of a bit silly. And everybody could be the GM or the, you know, special commissioner or, you know, now constable. They're coming up with new ones all the time. It's being diluted. It's being lame. And I'm so over it. And Corbin, this is all they can do for him? Like, seriously, come on. I mean, part of it must be, like, awesome. You know, I get to pull the strings to be the back doing segments. But, like, fuck, I'm a wrestler. I want to be out there in a wrestling storyline. This is stupid. And then when Bayley comes out and saves her team, he basically tells Angle to reverse the decision because Bayley can't go out there and put herself in the middle of the match, which he just did with Curt Hawkins. So it was just retarded. It didn't make any sense to me. I don't know if that was supposed to be part of it, the whole joke. I don't know. But it blows my mind. I don't know what they're doing with him.
So it's a shitstorm. Basically, you're saying it's a shitstorm.
Well, then it's Sasha and Bayley, right? It looks like they're finally like, you know what? You did save us. And then, oh, thanks, Bayley. And it's like, holy shit. Would this Bayley-Sasha thing never end? And you know what? It's almost to the point now where I'm actually like, I smile and I'm like, fuck WWE, you're trolling us, man. They're trolling us. And it's almost like I'm kind of enjoying it going on this long now, in a sense.
It doesn't sound like it.
It's like pain for pleasure. It's kind of like, oh my God, this is so painful. But it's kind of like they've been dragging this thing out so long, which they don't normally do with storylines, that it's kind of like, what's going on? You know, it's kind of like the Shane and Brian thing. I was like, what was going on for so long? That eventually ended.
Did Sasha Banks re-sign yet? That's the question. I remember reading about it.
With the WWE, yeah, she signed a new contract like a week or two ago.
Okay. I think we're going to see it progress a lot faster from after Money in the Bank. I think that was the whole thing. I think the storyline was kind of being dragged on because...
You think Sasha was not going to sign a new contract?
No, but I think it's a negotiation thing. I think if you don't have a superstar that's signed, I don't think they're going to put him into like a spotlight at that time. You know what I mean? You got to think it's tactics on their end. It would be.
I would love to see a woman from the roster go into the indie scene and make a name for herself since Cody Rhodes did it. Like, that'd be really cool.
Tennille Dashwood?
Isn't she out with injury immediately as she started being on the road again?
No. She had a pretty good run. She debuted in ROH. She had a few things going for her, and then, yeah, she got injured, but she was the one.
Nope, she wasn't the one. She was good. There will be a one, though. No, I don't think so. I'm not saying she's bad or anything, but she's not phenomenal.
Who is?
Phenomenal AJ Styles.
Hey, he looked like a part of the women's division tonight. With his haircut. Yeah. So much. It's too long. Much. It's ridiculous.
But that backstage promo, like back at, like, oh my God, it's getting ridiculous.
The slap was good.
Yeah, the slap was good, but like the pen's not working. He throws the pens. Like, what is this shit, man?
Man.
No speak of the English. Like,
Have you been watching like the Chris Jericho? Have you been watching the Chris Jericho promos he's been cutting on NATO?
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. I saw the promos he's been cutting, and they're pretty interesting. I like them. You know, he's getting fuck face over and all that stuff. But the thing I'm more interested in is his announcement today on the Jericho Cruise. He's announcing that Impact Wrestling, TNA Impact, is now part of the Jericho Cruise. Now, that probably isn't the wisest move for him to make. He probably doesn't give a fuck anymore.
The wisest move? He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But, you know.
What's not wise about that? That's freaking genius.
Maybe he'll be revolutionary. Maybe he'll find a way to intertwine the two companies or...
No, I just think... I just think that if WWE... I mean, they pretty much freaking own the world, right? So why don't they have the wrestlers do more of this kind of shit? It would only make sense for them.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, they thrive on competition, so maybe that helps.
There's no competition.
Not really. I mean, Austin Aries just unified their championships on Impact.
It means nothing. Yeah.
It means kind of nothing. But, I mean, good for the guy. He's happy. He's got a good schedule and salary. And now he's challenging Neville to go over there.
Yeah, that's really cool.
A tweet. You see the tweet he released?
Yeah, it was pretty cryptic.
He's like, once you're released from your shackles.
Yeah, once you've served your time or whatever, or your sentence. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. Austin Aries doesn't do it for me, though, even on the indie scene.
I mean, the fact that he's their like main guy, it's kind of like, okay. I mean, not to knock him too hard. I kind of like him, but like making him your main guy, like this, he's tiny. He's tiny.
He's not, but
yeah,
the indie scene is tiny.
Yeah. Just like the tag team picture right now, just doesn't seem like much is going on except for the B team.
Yeah, that was okay. I enjoyed that. It was stupid how the rules work though. If one of them went out, the other one went out. That was kind of silly.
But that's always how it worked. People were saying how cool it would be if like both had to go out. Like you had two chances to do it. But then it becomes a time factor, I assume. But that's normal rules, man.
Yeah, fuck, there's 3 hours of goddamn Raw.
I know.
Cut out a couple Burger King commercials. You know what I mean?
I know. But that's the thing, too. Drew McIntyre and Ziggler got inserted. I'm like, oh, they're in the match? Like, how? Whoa, maybe they're going to win it. And then Ziggler gets knocked out by Tyler Breeze. So I guess, you know, it protects Drew. They clear house afterwards. And maybe it plants a seed for the frustration and tension to build between Drew and Dolph Ziggler because Ziggler starts costing matches and costing opportunities. So he'll be the dead weight, and I guess they're going to move forward with that sooner rather than
that's
later.
That's fucking fast.
That's it. I think they could do a lot with the storyline, but I'm also kind of like, I want them to be on the other side of it where Drew McIntyre is getting into the main event picture instead of being, you know, tied down with Dolph Ziggler.
Fuck, on Raw, dude, I don't see where the hell he's going to fit into the main event, honestly. I mean, unless Roman... Okay, so let's just say potentially Roman dethrones Lesnar at SummerSlam. Which I don't think is going to happen, but let's say it does. I mean, there's so many names before Drew is in there. There's so many names for Roman to go through.
I know.
Rollins, how it Ambrose, is. Balor.
That's how it is roster through, though, too. Even on SmackDown, you have people who aren't even there. Like, Sanity's only made their debut on a house show recently.
Yeah, lame.
It's like, come on. They don't have time for anybody. Almost is in backstage segments. They just have too many people pulled up to the roster. They don't know what to do with
them. There's too many people everywhere.
There's too many people everywhere.
It's like literally, like even Samoa Joe, like I don't feel like I've seen Samoa Joe, even though I've seen Samoa Joe. You know what I mean? I feel like I can't, there's no connection there. There's, I don't know. I really think that not having a storyline per episode is really hurting the product. Really, really hurting the product. And this big gap between, what was the last pay-per-view? Backlash, which was like really a tie over. So it's been, Greatest Royal Rumble was a tie over. So it's been since WrestleMania that we haven't really had a storyline driven pay-per-view.
No, but I kind of enjoyed when the Greatest Royal Rumble came up because it was something kind of fresh and new. There's lots going on at one time, so they kind of can get by with not having to have storylines.
Yeah, but we hated the product during that time. We were complaining about the product like crazy during that time. More than tonight.
We've been complaining about the product like crazy.
No, we liked it like 2-3 weeks ago. We did. We really liked the first few weeks of the build to Money in the Bank. And after all of the... what's the word I'm looking for there? When you win a match and you're in the Money in the Bank, what's this called?
Qualifying?
Yeah, qualifying.
It's late, it's folks. It's late.
Once the qualifying was finished, it died. There was no mid-card storylines to carry any of the weight, and they just literally were like, let's just have them all fight each other in different combinations for the next 5 weeks or 4 weeks. Like, Lana has been the best part of the WWE product since the qualifying matches.
One of the best parts.
What else? Yeah. Off the top of your head.
B-Team.
Oh, yeah. B-Team's good. Okay, now you got me there. Okay, B-Team's good. So just stupidity.
It's pretty much it. Well, that's kind of it. Yeah, they've been kind of standing out because I think the comedy relief has been a little bit more entertaining than the actual matches themselves. This week we had Becky and Charlotte as well, and I was super excited for that. I was like, wow, they have their match. I think Charlotte has one up over Becky, and this was kind of to even it out.
Yep.
And Becky pulled it out. The match itself I found wasn't that great.
I thought it was okay. Clumsy.
thought it was a little bit clumsy at times. But, you know, cool to see Becky win. Just makes me a little bit more salty with the Asuka loss at WrestleMania now. It just seems like, what the hell? Now Charlotte loses so easily that, like, really? Oh, come on, guys. Come on.
Everything for Asuka, eh?
Yeah. But I you know, I'm happy for Becky. I hope she does. I hope she is one of the potential people who might win. Such a stupid
guaranteed season. No chance.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
win guaranteed it.
Yeah,
and I think it honestly kind of takes Charlotte out of it as well.
I feel like there could still be some kind of like injury in somebody that gets taken out at the last minute or something. Like, what's with Natty right with her knee?
Yeah.
Is she gonna be in this ladder match now?
Yeah, I think they said on SmackDown that she was cleared. Her and Ember Moon. I don't know what happened to Ember Moon, but.
I don't remember anything happening to Ember Moon specifically.
Yeah. So what kind of fake injury did she have or whatnot? But Money in the Bank is what, 2 weeks away?
Not, yeah.
A week from Sunday.
One more week. Yeah, exactly. Okay. 1 week from Sunday.
Ah.
And with Nia Jax and Natty, right? We're just talking about Natty. Okay, first Nia Jax this week. We saw Natty get beaten by Samoa Drop. Her knee went out. The magical Samoan drop that finishes everybody off. I guess it's to do with her size, right? Because the Samoan drop would just be regular.
Hey, it was right? Tatanka's finishing move.
It was back in the day, I guess, yeah. But so was a DDT, right? Jake the Snake.
Well,
so.
Everybody uses a DDT. There's like 30 people who use a DDT.
Everybody uses, well, many people use a Samoan drop.
That's true. That's true.
Right. But then you have, it was kind of, I don't know, I didn't buy it. You have Ronda coming down to the ring and they're slowly building up to Nia. And now Nia wasn't as much a bully this week. She's kind of more concerned for Natty. But it was kind of silly. It just looked really awkward. It was like, get back. And she's like, no, how are you doing, Natty? And she kind of like was chest bumping.
Well, dude.
Ronda.
Literally, whoever decided to take the three weakest actresses and give them the most acting on the entire episode. I mean, I'll give them the credit that they had them in multiple segments. That was all right. But that whole thing backstage was like, just Natty is horrible. Like, she is freaking bad, man. She's great in the ring, and Ronda seems to be great in the ring too, and Nia's okay in the ring. Just have them crush, man. Have them freaking compete. Don't have those kind of superstars on the mic. Kurt Hawking is better on the mic than all three of those women.
Kurt Hawkins is very underrated. I hope eventually, like, I get he's, you know, really milking this, they're milking this cow for what it's worth, but like, oh, eventually the guy's, you know, gonna do some better things. Like, it's almost like,
I don't think he'll ever do anything better.
I mean, Mike Kanellis wishes he could at least be doing that gimmick.
Mike Kanellis would kill to be doing that, guaranteed. It's not a bad gig, guy. Dude. It's not a bad gig. He had TV time this week, and the taco thing was pretty cool. He was more entertaining than Corbin was. Corbin, oh man, we were fucking not in a good mood tonight, eh? Holy shit, we're so negative.
Not at all. It's been a lot of negativity.
Yeah, sorry guys.
And J-Ro too, he doesn't like when people bitch about the wrestling scene and says, well, if you bitch it, you just turn it off. And it's not that easy. I mean, we have the right to bitch. You know, we've been watching it since we've been little shits.
Little
and
shits.
Now we're older shits.
Plus I feel...
And we give a shit.
I feel the obligation to watch it so that we can come and do this. You know, we kind of have to watch it to be able to do this. So, I don't know if that's hurting it or helping it. It's doing something to it.
But does it matter in the end? I mean, at least we come here, we like to give our opinion, and we like to share our thoughts with you guys. So that's what it's all about. So we saw Elias pin Seth Rollins this week.
Ah, yeah.
So is that more, I feel it's more of like, look, Elias pinned the IC title champion. He can win. He can get a pin over him. Will he win the IC title? It translates to me that he's not going to beat Seth Rollins because he got the pin on this week on Raw.
I think that's the formula every week, man. It's the same reason we don't think Becky Lynch is going to win.
That's it. Yeah, you were ahead of me on that one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But so we got to see an awesome match, main event on Raw. We got to see Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. The match itself was pretty good, but I think what everybody was excited about was the ladder spot at the end. And I saw a GIF on the internet because there was a similar ladder spot in NXT where Balor climbed up a ladder and did the coup de grace on KO from top of the ladder. And this one didn't look as nice, but like, man, imagine that. Like, being like, okay, I'm going to double stomp you in your gut from the top of a ladder. Man, that's got to hurt.
I don't think, though, that move hurts, man.
I've always been like, I know you kind of like... you drop and like lift your weight off of him and kind of roll or do whatever you got to do. I always thought the double stomp was kind of funny when anybody did it because they fall after they do it.
It doesn't. First of all, the one in NXT, he was like maybe like 6 inches taller than the top rope. He was
on the ladder. It was a bit, yeah.
He was like four rungs down from the top. We're not talking Velveteen Dream jumping the top of the ladder, doing the elbow drop. That was fucking dope.
He's also like 10 feet tall, so.
Yeah, but he didn't even just like drop. He jumped. There's no taking away from that spot. But Finn Balor, like the way that he drops, he pretty much is like on a 45 degree angle anyways. So like,
well, for this one too, he was very safe, you could tell. But even sometimes when he's hit that move, like I remember one when he fought AJ Styles, you hear AJ Styles go, when he gets hit with the move. And he didn't even move. It was kind of like, he just kind of like stepped on him and didn't even move. It was like, bang.
Yeah, but he probably told AJ to give it because they're from New Japan. So they probably did it right. But like watching, like Alberto Del Rio used to smoke guys off the top rope doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. He had that move. Yeah.
And a few times Sasha Banks did it too. Like the double knee thing. She used to do it off of, like, she would make them, like, the opponent would have to hold themselves up.
Yeah, she would bridge them.
Yeah, it was, like, literally the worst move ever, but sometimes she would freaking smoke them, so.
Well, that's Sasha Banks for you. She's always delivering on the offense. She impresses us every week, and she's probably the best woman on the whole entire roster.
Really? That's where you're at with her?
No.
You're being sarcastic?
A little bit of sarcasm.
Do you want a massage?
I'm just throwing that one in there.
So one huge piece of news that I got to talk about because I'm such a fan.
Who, Asuka?
No, this one is not about Asuka.
Drew McIntyre?
Not Drew McIntyre and his chiseled physique.
Oh, yeah. Stallion.
So right before I left work, I read today that there's rumors, or at least not rumors, he said in an interview, but I mean, don't take it for what it's worth at this point because, you know, who knows? Shawn Michaels is actually open to an in-ring return.
I will never retire!
Damn, really?
Wow, you got that one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had an interview, I think, recently, where he said, you know, people kind of stopped asking me, and at the same time, like, I would consider it if this kind of the match was right, I guess you could say, but don't expect your typical heartbreak kid. Like, you're not going to see Risto WrestleMania. And I guess he's saying not to put pressure on himself, right? But the thing is like, you know, that's good news. He said he has some opponents that he'd like to get in the ring with. He'd like to face AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, Johnny Gargano, which could be all great, awesome matches. But will it be the same? I mean, like, you know, he cut his hair and his hair is very thin. So is he going to have that same appeal? He's going to look really different. He's going to look very different.
He's going to deliver, bro. Who cares what he looks like? I would say
it'd be cool to put like, he should put this DX Lucha mask on himself, or like a mask.
No.
And then that way he can kind of play this whole gimmick of like, he didn't come out of retirement. What are you talking about? I didn't wrestle.
Oh.
I didn't wrestle. That wasn't me.
That'd be okay. But
like Mr. America.
But dude, like even if stroked out Bret Hart came back, it would still be fucking amazing. And
I don't know. Did you watch stroked out Bret Hart wrestle against The Miz and Vince McMahon? It was a pretty sad sight to be seen.
Bret.
Don't watch
Bret.
Those matches.
It's still cool, man. I'll watch it any day. I guarantee you that HBK will fight, if he does come back, AJ Styles. Just because good Christian boy against good Christian boy.
Now, that could be. Think about it. WrestleMania 35. We might be there. We might be there to see that match, bro.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to see HBK live, man. Sorry. Last time I saw that cocksucker live. Montreal Screwjob.
I saw him put Hogan in the sharpshooter too.
What, on that Raw that you were there?
I was at a wrestling event like a long time ago. It must have been a Raw or something. Right before he fought Hogan at SummerSlam, I think. And he went to go give like Hogan a sweet chin music. And then before he kicked him, he actually like grabbed Hogan's legs and put him in the sharpshooter.
Damn.
Yeah. But anyways, that's huge news. We'll see where it goes from here. Take it for what it's worth, folks. I mean, it might not be anything major. It might be just a tag team match with Triple H. Who knows? But that's kind of cool. I never thought that was going to happen. And great, we might see some more Shawn Michaels.
It'd be cool if he fought Triple H, too.
Yeah, man, retire that guy.
Retire who? Triple H?
Triple H.
Yeah. Dude, man.
He's never going to retire. He's never going to retire. I just hate him taking up a WrestleMania spot every year. But he's just like,
dude,
this
how,
is my spot.
What
this
do you hate spot. About him? He has never put on a bad match.
He's never put on an amazing match. I wouldn't say never. I wouldn't say never, folks. I know people are booing me right now. But I don't think he's ever really put on.
His match was match of the night at 34. Hands down. Match of the night. Yeah, Ronda Rousey was the most fun we had that night. We were losing our shit. That wasn't even him.
Man.
No, but he was still part of it. It was the greatest build.
Of course.
It was the greatest.
Of course he's a part of it. He put himself in the middle of
it. Dude, he's the savior, man. He's the savior.
Oh, my God.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
What's better? Tell me. Do you enjoy NXT?
I love NXT.
It's Triple H, baby. You like 205 Live. It's Triple H,
right.
baby.
But is he putting himself on the NXT card, being like, "Hey, look at me"?
Yeah, but is he
prime,
putting himself?
Go.
Is he putting himself on Main Event, or is Vince like?
He pretty much has been. He put himself against Roman Reigns for the championship a couple of years ago.
Or did
he put
Vince
himself against Ronda Rousey this
How
year?
Do you know he puts himself? You think he has a say?
Because I have his number. I text him, and he lets me know, and he confirms it all.
Touche.
You're talking about Bret Hart not too long ago, and it's funny because we're going to meet Ken Shamrock, and we had the interview last week. So I was doing a lot of research, going back and watching a lot of old wrestling, and I watched a match between Bret Hart versus Stone Cold at Survivor Series, which was really cool. Bret ended up winning with a roll-up. Great match. I thought I was watching the WrestleMania 13 match, but it was that match, actually, and that was awesome. Then I watched the WrestleMania 13 match again, and wow, that match was awesome. I mean, it was. I had to watch it before going to see, going to have the interview with Shamrock, first of all, because he was part of that match as a special referee, but just because it was such a big part of wrestling history and ushered in the Attitude Era, and man, when Austin blades himself, dude, like, it just doesn't stop.
Blading was so important to pro wrestling, or the WWE product. It is such a shame that it's a thing of the past.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's so sensitive now. It just wouldn't work in today's snowflake society.
Like, there was a point, like, I missed pretty much all of Ruthless Aggression, that era. And I did go back and watch some of, like, Eddie Guerrero's big matches and a few other...
The JBL match?
Yeah, well, that... yeah, I know that's going to come to mind whenever we talk about blading. But there was quite a few blood baths, even involving John Cena. And...
In JBL.
Was it okay, so JBL. Yeah. All right, so JBL. He's the common denominator. But I think the blading during the Ruthless Aggression era was, I'm not going to say too much, but when, like, both dudes would blade and then the entire ring was red.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool.
Triple H and Shawn Michaels had some matches where it was a little excessive, that's for sure. Their last man standing match that they had, both of them were just like, oh my God! They must at least have like a liter of each other's blood in their body.
That's really gross.
Just like blood brothers.
Like when
legit
when Jerry had Kramer's blood in him.
Yeah, yeah.
You struck a flash in my mind when you said Triple H versus Michaels. Do you think they're ever going to bring back the Three Stages of Hell match?
It's been a long time, and I heard there's been, like, heavy rumors of it. Like, when they had AJ and Nakamura, people were saying to make it a Three Stages of Hell match.
Oh, don't waste it on them.
Don't waste it on them. Fit. But you have to bear in mind, right, with a matchup like that, it's going to be a long match. So you need two people who can hang in there for the long haul, and you need two people that the fans are going to want to watch for that long.
Gargano, so, Ciampa? I think they can do it.
It could be really cool. Do it on an NXT pay-per-view, but... Aren't those pay-per-views a little bit shorter than the standard pay-per-view? So you would only have like three matches and then that maybe? You'd have to get a small card.
Yeah, I think they're 2 hours. Maybe 3 hours at WrestleMania weekend. But when they did War Games, that was fucking long, man. I think there was like two matches or three, maybe three matches before, and then it was War Games. But I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody currently on main roster that can pull that off. There's no feuds. I mean... Maybe Dean and Seth can do it if they had a really good program. I could see that. Dean strikes me as like a marathon runner, and we've seen Rollins do it as well. But apart from those two guys, I mean, unless I'm not thinking of anybody right now, That would be...
No, I mean, you know, I can't argue with that point, so... But talking about Jericho, we have a pretty interesting pay-per-view running this weekend. So we also have we had the New Japan event this weekend, Jericho versus...
Is that this weekend at Dominion?
Yeah, it is this weekend, yeah. We also have CM Punk fighting this weekend in the UFC.
Who gives a fuck?
Some people do. I'm just putting it out there. It's some kind of news.
I'll probably take a look at it. I'll watch him lose again.
So it's interesting because he's fighting in Chicago and he basically is, you know, he can't lose in his hometown. So some people are saying that they're giving him somebody who he can win.
Chick
some
Magnet Punk? That. We're talking about Chick Magnet.
Chick Magnet. Well, maybe he's going to look like one after the match. Who knows? Yeah. You know, he might have a swollen jaw. But yeah, he also just won his court case as well, too.
Yeah.
Just came up today against a doctor. Apparently the WWE helped out the doctor in terms of lawyers and like suing Punk.
Well, for sure. Of course he did. It's their doctor. They have to.
I guess they wanted to back him, right?
Yeah. Dragging Cole Kamada into it seemed a little bit weird. The guy just had him on his podcast. That's like all he did. So it's like if Ken Shamrock talks shit about WWE and then we got sued. Yeah, I plugged it again. I would fucking love it. That'd be so dope. I'd be like, I'm getting sued.
But he wanted like $1 per listed on the podcast, and it was like $3 million, something like that, dollars.
Really?
Pretty good.
Give me a break.
Like, I want $1 per stream, and it's like, that's not that bad. It's $3 million. Ah! Like, oh, man.
That's a load of shit.
Anyways, you know, I think it is what it is, and people move on from there, and CM Punk goes to his big fight this weekend, folks. So check it out. UFC, it's going to be off the hook. It's going to be in Chicago. It's CM Punk's chance to redeem himself from the last fight, which he did not do very well at all.
He got fucked up. Which UFC is it? 225, I think?
It's UFC.
I'm taking a look here. Chicago, Illinois? Yeah, 225.
Oh. 225, just like I said, folks.
Holly Holm is on the card. That's pretty good. Oh, he's fighting Mike Jackson, who's 0-1-0. So is Punk, though. Ah, it looks like a horrible card.
I think he's getting like a main event spot during it, too. People are pretty pissed off.
No. I think he's opening it up. I'm just looking at the card now. I think he's opening it up.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Main event, well, I'm definitely going to check it out, man.
Yeah.
It's my birthday this weekend, folks.
Ooh, damn. Dez, how old are you going to be?
I'm not going to tell you because it's too old to know.
You will die. You don't want...
Simply from hearing my age.
You don't want Drew McIntyre to hear it. I got you.
No, he might not be interested.
Yeah, I got you.
I got to work on my chiseled body before.
You got to get to his stallion level.
But yeah, super excited. My birthday this weekend. Lots of wrestling coming up. New Japan. We got UFC. We got... I'm going out and I'm going to have some beers.
Yeah. Money in the Bank, two weeks out.
Yeah, we're going to be together again, folks, like we usually do on pay-per-views. Yep. We're going to be periscoping. We might get Daniel Bryan in there as well, too, for a quick interview. We might have some more guests and some more surprises.
Yeah, Daniel told me I don't think he can make it this week, this month. Bree's getting a little bit sick of it, flying out to Montreal on pay-per-view nights. But, yeah, I'm hearing maybe there'll be somebody else.
Cool. Sounds good. Exciting, guys. So definitely check that out. We will be there for Money in the Bank. And hell, man, we got another week before the show, too. We're going to have our follow-ups for next week's Raw and SmackDown Roundup and our pay-per-view predictions.
Yeah, we'll rip a pay-per-view prediction in there. So thanks again for tuning in to Talkmania. It was a late one tonight. Not going to lie. We're a little bit burnt out. But we do have some other news that we didn't share. We should have shared it last week. I'm going to share it now. We are officially part of Chairshot Radio Network, so check them out. You can find them on Twitter. You can find them online. Chairshot Radio. You can find them on Blog Talk Radio, thechairshot.com. A whole bunch of guys, a whole bunch of podcasts working together, helping each other out. Our boys over at World Class helped us out, so what up to those dudes. We'll be back at... probably periscoping tomorrow night if the mood is right with Ken Shamrock. If you haven't listened to that interview, go check it out. It's all over our social media. It's everywhere. And go to prowrestlingtees.com. Support the podcast. buy a t-shirt. Our fourth design is out. Our summer design. It's retro.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. Check it out. So on behalf of J-Bomb, I'm out of here. Dez, say bye.
Happy Rusev Day, friends.
Suckers walk!